Austin Talley, CEO of Everywhere.
Thank you.
In
Thank you
Austin.
Very much.
Yeah, it's awesome here. It's humid, though.
A little bit.
I don't know how you guys live in this. So
I know.
You have
to get out once in a while, go to Colorado.
Yeah, you got to come up to Colorado. So I want to talk a little bit about Everywhere and what you guys do. You're a software company, highly rated, like your reviews are off the chart. But when I was reading about you, explain to me exactly what you do.
So Everywhere is a full service payments platform, but we're very much known for pay by text or text to pay, predominantly because during the pandemic when, you know, nobody wanted to, you know, disperse cash anymore, nobody wanted to even touch mail. It was a great way for like healthcare providers to send you a text message and get paid fast, right? So it really kind of forced everyone to go digital, I would say probably sooner than they, you know, probably expected. So Everywhere was kind of right place, right time to support that. And so today, I would just say like that, I'd like to think it was more like pay by mobile. But pay by mobile sometimes comes across like, oh, I got to download an app. But really, this is simply just paying with your phone number, right? So literally just your cell phone number becomes super powerful.
It's really interesting when we look at the pandemic because it forced and accelerated certain adoptions of behavior like paying by phone. And, you know, like, was that like just a lucky break, or before the pandemic, were you close to the adoption rate that you have now?
Prior to the pandemic, I was mainly focusing around hospitality and travel related companies because it made a lot of sense to support card not present transactions. And it had a concierge type of approach where it was two way texting in addition to collecting money. Well, that really resonated with a lot of different companies and a lot of different verticals, like the healthcare example I just gave you, where now the communication became more about like my bill, you know what I mean? Versus prior to that, it was like you receive a paper statement in the mail, you call a number, it goes nowhere, right? Because no one wants to even talk on the phone anymore.
Right.
But you send somebody a text message and you get a response. So allowing people to communicate on their own time is something that we all cherish because nobody has time ever to pick up the phone and just, you know, be available these days.
Let's back up for a second. And, you know, I want to get into the culture you've created at Everywhere because it's, you know, it's a most wonderful place to work, right? And you're listed in Inc., great places to work. But I want to talk about you and your journey as an entrepreneur and the founder and CEO of a software company. Like, talk me through how you got where you are. I know you were in the Navy, and I would love to know how the military has influenced and shaped your abilities as a leader and how it's influenced your culture. Like, talk to me a little bit about how you got from the Navy to a CEO role at Everywhere.
I feel like at a young age, I just felt like this desire to be a CEO one day, right? I think we all like have these dreams and hopes. And I set my expectations for myself pretty high.
What was the draw? Why did you want to be a CEO?
For the most part, is because I was a kid that really came from nothing.
Okay.
So I grew up really without having parents or a normal life. So for me, it was, well, the Navy was an escape. I was a way for me to basically get myself out of a situation that I was in at a young age, and now exposed to like the world very, very fast. And the Navy is an accelerator. You know, you have an amazing opportunity. Really, it's whatever you want to be in life. So in the Navy, when I first joined, I was a software engineer. I was somebody that basically that was learning Windows 95 when Windows 95 was coming out. You know what I mean? So it was at a good time to be a software engineer or to learn software because I was only learning more of the modern way to do things, where a lot of, I would say, people that were already there were well established in older legacy types of technologies.
Right. Right. And how did the, like, you know, you're a leader, CEOs are leaders. Like sometimes founders make really shitty CEOs, but sometimes founders make really wonderful CEOs. Like how have you leaned in to your role as CEO, and how, like, your experience in the military, like how has that made you into the leader that you are? Because apparently, according to the reviews online, you are very good at what you do.
Yeah, I think, you know, in life, it's about surround yourself with people that you want to trust and that they trust in you. And that, you know, there's no, I would say I won't give out the desire to ever be like the only guy standing on top of the mountain holding the flag, right? To me, it was like more of a team mindset. And in the team, it means that, well, we're all going to win together, right? So we try to remove the egos. I always say to my team, like, the titles are good for external looking in, but like in this room, surrounded by the table, like everyone has a voice. Like we can all make an impact at any different level. And your title really doesn't matter. Like nobody gives a shit, you know, if you're a senior vice president, you know, like in this room right now, it's just us. So we can be free and talk open. And I feel like that really resonates. And, you know, the folks that have been with me, some of them have been, you know, 20 years, you know, been through like three companies that I've created, and they've been with me a good, I would say 7 or 8 of them all the way, like the entire, like our lives together.
Yeah.
We kind of like grew up together.
Yeah.
So I think we find people like that in life. They always say that you're the makeup of the 5 people you know. Well, the 5 people I know and surround myself with all work with me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think as long as I have that mindset of, hey, I'm here to help you in any way I can. And then likewise, you're helping me, right? And it becomes like more of like a win-win.
Yeah.
And I think that really resonates with folks.
Okay. So a software company with a leader that is encouraging everyone to drop their egos, right? This is not something you hear about in Silicon Valley where the egos are clashing and, you know, it's brutal. How do you do that? Like, how do you teach people to let the ego go? Because honestly, you're onto something, right? When you are able to let the ego go, you are going to be the best version of yourself and you're going to be in it for the greater collective good. How do you coach your people?
I think by showing them that I don't personally like taking things personally, so I let things pass through. So everyone can have a bad day, a bad moment, right? So what I always do is say, like, I never let it like stick, because then it ruins your entire day. So I always allow, you know, basically if people will voice their concerns or frustrations, maybe you go for a walk, but don't get hung up on it.
Yeah.
Like, don't get stuck on the problem. You know what I mean? So I think that resonates in itself by showing, leading by the example. Like when I'm putting on under the gun, they know that I am. As a CEO, you're getting hit with bullets coming at you from all different angles.
Right.
And I always say that if there's anyone in this company who's an HR nightmare, it's me.
Right.
You know, so being able to kind of, you know, joke about yourself, not take yourself so seriously. Don't think you're better than anyone else in this company. Like, or, you know, like I still get in there and help out and build reports or query databases or do whatever I can to help, you know, the executives on my team get the information that they need so they can do their job better. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, by just my me being a leader that actually practice what he's preaching, really comes across and probably is perceived throughout our team. Like, hey, I'm not going to just like let somebody that maybe bothered me in the morning last throughout the entire day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I commend you. That's really, really hard to do. You know, when you're like you are your company, right? You've got this emotional investment, a financial investment. And, you know, like, I think it's, you know, speaking of ego and letting that go, you know, failure, especially in software, you know, failure is a real thing. And the fear of failure is one of those things that prevents people from taking a step in a direction. Right. How do you like talk about failure in your journey and how you deal with it and what your advice is to, you know, overcome not just failure, but the fear of failure, which is, you know, that is the worst case scenario for any entrepreneur.
No, absolutely. And it's a great question because I face it often. And, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up because I always tell my folks, right, that don't do anything that it's like, you know, fear of failure or failure to start.
Right.
Because they feel like they're going to fail.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I think that's part of human nature. Like we all fear. It's an emotion, right? You're supposed to, like back in the day, it was like the way that kept you safe.
Right.
You
know, how you stayed alive. Right.
So knowing that now in today's world, you know, I like to say to my team is that if you're not basically failing, then you're doing something wrong.
Right.
You're not trying hard enough because if anything, like let's just fail and get it over with so we can grow and move on past it. You know what I mean? So failure for me is really part of the process. It's something that I encourage our team. Like I do not ever come down on anyone for any type of failure that they've had at our company. Because I think that's the worst thing that you can do. But what we've done is learn from that, build upon it and just go. You know what I mean? So failure, I believe, is a big piece of being an entrepreneur because at the end of the day, like you're going to fail over and over again. Like that's why you're here now. Like,
right.
That's what helped you get to where you are.
And you can't let the failures define you, right? Or your future or your ability to innovate. And I think sometimes people, the fear of I don't know if it's embarrassment. Like, I don't know what the psychology of it is, but it is, you know, like, okay, so look, can we go there?
Yeah,
you ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to go to motorcycles. If you get on a bike and you have fear, what happens?
Well, what happens is that your body's going to tense up, right? And that you're basically potentially going to get yourself really, really hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the ones that can find like the momentum or the flow, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like for some reason, they're the ones that basically feel like they're a piece of the motorcycle. Like they're the motorcycle and you become one.
Right.
You know, that you're just not a rider sitting on this horse. You know what I mean? So, you know, I would say fear is definitely, especially in motocross, is something that I would use it more of like an adrenaline, like, you know, use it more positive.
Yeah.
Than, you know, in other words, like, I'm not going to focus on falling because I know that can always happen.
Yeah.
And if I did focus on falling, I'm probably going to fall.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm able to use that and now that drive or that adrenaline in a positive way, now I feel like I can just conquer this whole track. You know, you ride, you know, I would say more fluid, you know, you're much more relaxed, and you can stay on the bike and keep the gas pinned a lot longer.
Yeah. I mean, I think I ride too different, you know, I'm not doing the whoopties on the dirt like you are, but, the life lessons that come out of motorcycle riding, right? Not just for business, but for life. And I think my favorite one is, and I, you know, I'm curious to know if you use this in your developing the culture of excellence, which you clearly have done, is you go where you look, right? If you are on a bike and you see a pothole and you look at it,
You're going to
hit it.
You're going to go right in that
pothole. And so it's the same in business, right? If you're looking for failure and you're going to hit it, right? And that's why, you know, right? Like we go, you put your eyes where you want to go.
Exactly.
Not in the, you know, the pit of despair, you know, the oil that's spilt on the road or whatever it is. I mean, I'm talking too much, but you tell, like, you give me your take on it because you are an extreme motorcycle rider. You take a lot of risks. And, you know, like when you do things like that, it really, it's like, I try to explain, there's a zen to it, right? Like it makes you better at a lot of different things. And, you know, talk about how that experience has made you, you know, the leader that you are.
Yeah, you know, I would say for the most part, it definitely builds a lot of confidence, you know what I mean? And to overcome a lot of fear, I would say for the big part, you know, it has taught me, because early on when I was first learning how to ride a motorcycle, I was fear of everything. Like you said, I would look down, I would fall.
Right.
And it took me probably a number of falls to realize, hey, I got to stop looking down.
Right. You know, but I mean, you let yourself fall.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I didn't really want to fall, but you know what I mean? Because I did probably, you know, at that time.
But you kept getting back on.
Right. Well, I broke a lot of bones.
Right.
Learning the hard way. So I think once I overcame of the fact that, like, you know, like looking forward, not looking down, you know, riding more relaxed, not being so tensed, right? And then only focusing in on actually riding was a big one. In other words, like your mind goes in a lot of different places. And the one thing about being on a bike is that you can't, you have to be so dialed in like a Jedi, else you're going to get yourself really, really hurt.
Yeah.
So I believe that by, you know, being a rider has definitely helped me overcome a lot of challenges. Because I know that, you know, what I just did this past weekend, these jumps I just hit, wow, I could have died like 10 more times over and over again. And the fact that I didn't and I overcame that, well, shit, I can overcome anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like
this is running a company to me is a cakewalk.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way, you know, just being on a bike and everybody's like, ooh, you know, you're going to get it. Like there is the connection and that focus, you know, is the skill that you use in every area of your life, especially if you're in a leadership role and you're running, you know, a company. But, you know, because I feel so strongly about how writing has shaped my life and my career, I wanted to get your take on it because, you know, CEOs who ride motorcycles are very hard to insure. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I just wanted to get your take because it seems like that's a big part of your, you know, your extracurricular life.
And it is, you know, it's a way for me. It's like my out because, like, you know, I'm not thinking about anything else when I'm on a track.
Yeah.
I'm only thinking about being on a track and having fun and enjoying life to the fullest. And I'm not thinking about work. I'm not thinking about the good, the bad, or the ugly, nothing. I'm just focusing on being really present. And I think that's probably the key word there is being present.
That's a really good one. Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, like one of the things when I was reading, you know, some of the reviews and some of the things that have been written about you and your leadership and everywhere is that you are like, you are focused, right? And you are chill, right? I think I read, did I read that? Like somebody
probably
called
did.
You like
probably pretty
the
chill.
Chillest CEO in software, you know, in Austin or something. Which brings me to my next question, which is, you know, you ranked in the best places to work. You're constantly ranked, you know, on trust, you know, five, you know, maximum number of stars. So what, like, how did you build a culture of excellence, right? That seems to be a real, like a core value of your company.
Yeah. And I think that the key word there is core. I think, you know, I surrounded myself by these core folks that have been with me for over 10 years is a big piece of it. Because when other employees, you know, come on board and they're really like, I call them team members, but when the team starts building up and adding new players to it, they're seeing players that have this longevity and want to be a part of something more. I mean, who wants to start a company just to only figure out like, it's not the right fit for me and I'm out of here. Like, and now they wasted all their time. So when people actually accept what they're signing up for, I want them to believe that this is for the rest of their life. And now it's more of a partnership. Like, you know what I mean? You're going to do this and I'm going to do this. You know, we both have a responsibility here. But at the end of the day, though, I believe that, you know, it's the team itself that creates that energy that other folks want to be a part of. And it might just have me in there, maybe in the middle or a piece. But I would say that more or less, though, it's the core folks that have been here a long time that really draw in other, you know, folks who want to stay with us. And that's why we're very low term.
Yeah. And, you know, you've how long, 20 something years?
So I've been entrepreneur for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And everywhere in itself has been around really about 5 years. The company itself has been.
How do you, you know, going through this journey and all the experiences and, you know, creating this really cool culture, how do you innovate, right? Like a lot of CEOs, it's very easy to get complacent in software, right? But you can't.
Mm-hmm.
How do you encourage innovation and entrepreneurship within your culture?
Yeah, well, for one thing is I'd look for that when we actually go through our hiring process. I always like, you know, to hire someone that has a chip on their shoulder. You know what I mean? So somebody that just doesn't want, you know, that wants to get in the trenches, right? That wants to be a part of something where they can make an impact, right? I always think that everyone at this company is very entrepreneurial, else they wouldn't be here. So, you know, that's something that's really a common trait of the folks that are throughout the company is that they kind of all have that commonality where they all can be entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And they all have a way to basically, you know, voice their opinion or their concern or add new product features that may or may not work. And some of them actually work really, really well.
Yeah.
You know, and then the ones that don't, hey, you know what? I'm sure there's another idea waiting around the corner. But being able to encourage that and innovate, like for me, I love that part of my job. I always consider myself more or less like, you know, a product guy versus a sales guy, you know, versus a software engineer. Like I love like innovating and coming up with new product and concepts. Or building off of legacy ones that have been around for a long time that just need to be upgraded.
How are you going to stay relevant in a marketplace that's getting really crowded? And AI, you know, all of these tools that are incoming, like how are you going to innovate yourself?
Yeah. You know, for one is like fulfilling what I believe our long-term vision and plan really is, which is to own the mobile phone number as a payment method that actually works everywhere. And I mean, everywhere, I mean, like if I go to another country, I'm literally just paying with my cell phone number. I felt for a very long time, it's the closest thing to a unique identifier that we all have. And the fact that if I lost my bank password right now, they would send me a text with a code. To me, it's like, well, since we're already using this for identity and security, basically, it just makes sense for that cell phone number to replace all the pieces of plastic in our wallet. You know what I mean? So we're not carrying around these bulky bags anymore. There's no need for cash anymore. And that you can take a phone number and tie it to all your payment methods. And now you're fully digital.
Right.
So, and there's no app to download. So I believe that the cell phone number is a part of us now. Like I have a 954 number. I live in Austin. There's a reason why I have a 954 number. It's in Florida, but I can't get rid of it.
It's you.
Yeah.
It's like your social security number.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where are you? Like, are you making partnerships and creating relationships to, you know, to recognize that vision?
Yeah. So our biggest partnerships that we have is really with the biggest, all the card networks. So Visa is one of our biggest partners out there. And Visa has really embraced this idea and this concept. So they've been a big supporter of mine, and they've really been helping me every step of the way to make this a reality. So, you know, not only are they a partner, but, you know, they're like part of us helping us, you know, take this software and actually build it out.
Yeah. Looking back at your journey, and, you know, if you like in closing here, you know, two or three pieces of advice for, you know, the guy in the Navy, software engineer, wants to be a CEO, entrepreneur, or really like anyone, you know, what is your advice based on these experiences that you've had?
For one, is that if you really want to be a CEO, want to be an entrepreneur, is that you should take the first step. In other words, like create the LLC. Like it doesn't really cost that much to create a company. People, if they really knew, I feel like everyone's scared about like going out and just like creating a company, right? Well, if you actually do it, that's like one step, because now you have a company name. Now you have an identity. Now you've like made one of the biggest moves. Now it's just like, okay, I got to fill this, whether it's a product, with service, with people. So it encourages you. It's kind of reinforcing.
That was really interesting. Like I've interviewed a lot of entrepreneurs, and I've never heard anyone say, you know, go ahead and file your LLC, right? Because it you are then, you know, it's sort of like you're accountable, right? Like it's not just you, you know, dreaming, having aha moments and doing nothing. You're committing to something, which
absolutely.
I think is a really, really big deal. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. So what are the other pieces of advice that you might have?
Yeah. So just knowing that basically failure is part of the process, right? That's a big one. And when somebody says no, there's always somebody that's going to say yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So as long as you know that going into it, in other words, like I would say that and go in with more or less with a positive mindset than a negative one, because chances are if you go in there and say this meeting's not going to go well, well, guess what? You're already telling yourself this meeting's not going to go well.
Yeah.
You know, if I came in here and thought this podcast was going to suck, I would have a terrible experience. Instead, I came in here and I was going to meet this amazing woman. Her name is Amy. She's from Colorado. Oh, she drives Ducatis. All right. Now I'm excited. You know what I mean? So it changes your mind on basically to focus more or less to find the good in everything.
Yeah.
And I think also to celebrate like the small wins. In other words, small wins is what ultimately is going to lead to the big one.
Yeah.
So like, don't be afraid to celebrate.
Yeah. Them. Okay. So that's the advice. That's like the sage, wise, experienced advice. What's your advice, like a piece of advice for entrepreneurs, but based on your experience as a rider? Is it keep your shiny side up or never ride faster than your angels fly? Which is,
man, those are all good quotes.
I know. But they're Pat, right? They're hack. What's yours?
So for me, it's always about a mindset. So that's one thing that I really encourage entrepreneurs to really focus in on, is more like what's inside, not on the outside. You know what I mean? In other words, like everyone tends to focus on what's on the outside, whether it's a shiny new object. But for one thing, it's like, no, what really matters in life is what's on the inside.
Yeah.
So meditation is something that I found later on in life, but I wish I would have found it in my 20s. Unfortunately, I found it in my late 30s. But once I did, it was an amazing game changer.
It's a life altering. Like once you know, understand the goals of meditation. I mean, I think that, you know, like, and I was the same, like I waited until later in life to, you know, try meditation, but it really does change everything.
It does. It's inspired me in so many different ways. People always say like, oh, I had a great idea in the shower, or I had a great idea driving my car. And that reason why you had those great ideas is because you were actually internally bringing up things that you've been like, you know, whether it's part of your past, but those things right there were finally able to come to the forefront,
right?
Because you were in a relaxed state of mind and you allowed that information to flow forward instead of being distracted, whether it's kids, whether it's your job, because there's so many distractions in life, right? So for us, it was more or less saying, hey, find your quiet time, right? There's apps for that. Whether it's in the morning or in the night or just whenever.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Just find it.
Yeah. Well, I wish you so much success. And it has been such a joy to get to sit down with you and get your perspective on leadership and CEOs and just the wisdom that you shared with the entrepreneurs and the dreamers, troublemakers, all of us. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good job.